This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is Dukes and Bell on a Monday. This Final Four has been absolutely crazy. This point, getting to the Final Four, it's in Houston this year. Mike and I will head there coming up Thursday, Friday. We'll do the show live from Radio Row. Talk to all the movers and shakers. Have some fun. But no one seeds, no two seeds, no three seeds in this year's men's Final Four. That's never happened, ever. So you've got Miami, San Diego State. You've got UConn. You've got Florida Athletic. Atlantic, that is. Mike, UConn's the dominant team. They beat the snot out of Gonzaga. It's the largest margin of victory since 1992. Yeah. 1992, the largest margin of victory. So you're going back a long time, and then they got shooters, they got bigs, all the things, and now all of a sudden it looks like UConn, and they should be the favorite probably to win. But the way Florida Atlantic has played, I'm not counting anybody out.
No, and I just thought that, do you have to have your traditional blue bloods now? Again, maybe the casual – I always laugh. Either you like college basketball or you don't. But the casual viewer, the guy that recognizes the North Carolinas and the Dukes and the Kansas and the Wildcats and Kentucky, well, those guys aren't here this year. But if you love great stories – I mean, Larrañaga is a great story. 73 years old, him dancing in the locker room the other day when they got to the Elite Eight. Just great stuff, rootable teams. You know, there's really not an unlikely or an unlikable person in this. You know, you got Bobby Hurley's brother Danny coaching UConn now, right?
Yes.
And that's an interesting story. But, I mean, I just think you've come to the conclusion now. This has now happened going on almost 2 decades. Because you have the one-and-dones and the smaller schools get to stay together. Or in the case of Miami, you and I talked about this earlier. You've got a great coach, and thanks to NIL, maybe a kid who didn't think about going there goes there. And he's able to maximize that talent. You know, because other schools have had that kind of advantage for years. Unfortunately, you know, Calipari's in this rut now where his ones aren't even anything. You know, you don't even know half these guys are in the draft at this point.
Yeah, you don't have, I don't believe, on any of these teams, any McDonald's All-Americans, which, again, speaks to, you know, you can have all those guys you want. At the end of the day, it's how your team is playing, these programs that these coaches have built. San Diego State, you know, you go back to Steve Fisher many, many years ago, was building this thing, and they continue to roll. I was thoroughly frustrated with the way Texas blew that game yesterday. You know, give credit to Miami.
Any different if Coach Beard is on the sideline?
No.
Because the assistant did a hell of a job this year.
Yeah, I think Terry's going to get the job. I hope he gets the job. He's done a great job there. But you know, when you go on a 37-17 run to close the game, that's what Miami did, you're going to lose. And you found ways not to score, and all of a sudden, you know, you're up 13, I think, to start the second half. It's one of those things where you're like, that should have been Texas going. Here's the thing about it being in Houston. Houston had hoped that it would be Houston or Texas being in the Final Four because they knew the fanfare that it would bring. Now, how many folks from Florida Atlantic are going to travel, Mike? How many folks from Miami? The U, it's a small school to begin with, guys. People don't realize this. The U is not like Georgia, okay? No. There's not 50,000 students at the U. So you start talking about these smaller programs, right, just from a size standpoint. How much is that going to impact the Final Four?
Their undergrad, by the way, I just looked it up, is 12,000 from
nothing.
Miami.
It's nothing. San Diego State, same kind of deal, man. So UConn, the traditional power here because they've won national championships, But at the end of the day, this is not, I don't think, Mike, what the NCAA wanted. But they better get used to it because this is where college basketball is going to be.
And maybe you stop seeding the teams that have been living on their rep or their conference and stop, and maybe you start seeding a little bit differently. I think it's a little bit more top heavy. You know, certainly Houston deserved to be a number one. Alabama deserved to be a number one. By the way, I don't know if things eventually got to be too much. How do you look at the Alabama meltdown where just nothing was dropping? I mean, and that's – and some people – was it – who am I last week, the former Boston College coach? He thought that was going to happen to Alabama.
Scott Spinelli.
Yes, Coach Spinelli said he thought that was going to sort of unravel. Mm. So is that what happened there?
Their start in play like he normally played. Brandon Miller had a terrible tournament.
And it just – when things started to go south, it just seemed like when he was putting up everything started to not drop, right? And things that were dropping earlier in the year, again, good open looks. It wasn't like he was just chucking stuff. He was getting good open looks that just were not coming anywhere close. That was part of this. The other part is now once we get into like getting seeds that aren't number one or two, you start talking about maybe things you shouldn't be talking about. And you and I started the show about the refs with the San Diego State and the Creighton foul. For those, I think, I was in the car. I was actually rented a truck from Home Depot to go get some stuff from the Garden Center. I was like Will Ferrell. It wasn't enough time, Carl. I was very busy. But as far as the radio call here on 92.9 The Game, I could tell, I know the announcers weren't going to crap too much out of the NC2A, but you could tell something was fishy. What did you make of Ryan Nembhard called for the foul as Darian Trammell comes through the lane and starts to put that floater up? Did him having his hands around his waist, I mean, yes, there's contact. By the letter of the law, contact. But do you call it?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Just like the Super Bowl.
And it's one of those things, Mike, you could go through 100 calls in NCAA tournament history and say, was that worthy of it being called in the moment? And some people will say, well, listen, if it's the letter of the rule, right, this is what we argued back and forth about with the Super Bowl call. It's not that it shouldn't have been called. It's the timing of the call. Like, that's right. Called in the first and second and third quarter. We can go back and look at plays. We talked about it. There was a play in the second quarter. There's contact across the middle. It's not called. And yet you call that at the end of the game, which then dictates how the game is going to end. I always just want players to finish games. I always want players to make plays to finish games. He misses that shot. Let's go to overtime, right? Let's let the players decide instead of giving the free throws, and now you know there's no time on the clock for Creighton to do anything. Brandon Miller, Mike, was 9 points, 3 for 19 shooting in his final game. He was arguably the best player in college basketball and had 6 turnovers in his last game. That's why Alabama lost. That is why you talk about your stars have to shine. That's what happened with Miami. Their best player went 13 for 13 from the line, Mike, in the game against Texas yesterday. And you say, well, how did they pull out this win? How did they make a comeback? Jordan Miller, 27 points, 7 of 7 shooting and 13 for 13. He didn't miss a shot.
I was watching the Gonzaga game. Drew Timmy, the big guy, right, to talk about him having a chance maybe in the NBA.
Yep.
Terrible. Guy couldn't hit him. I mean, he couldn't throw it in the ocean from the beach. Then he got in foul trouble. And that thing was just, bro, that was insane. The way UConn poured it on against Gonzaga. This was a Gonzaga team that when he beat UCLA, he said, maybe this is the year when there is no expectations for him. Man, they got smoked.
It's going to be interesting in many ways. But to Mike's point, some people say, well, I'm not going to watch. I think there'll be more interest because you just don't know who's going to win this thing.
Yeah, I mean,
last year you got the Blue Bloods, by the way. You right? had North Carolina.
Kansas.
You had Kansas. Yeah. You had all of that last year. So this year things switch a little bit. I think it'll be a lot of interest.
I like these non-traditional stories. And the fact that proximity, that basically you go up 95 about 20, 30 minutes, and you got Boca, so you got Battle of Biscayne Bay. That, I mean, that could be your potential. I mean, FAU against Miami. But now here's the thing, though. Only the TV numbers will show.
Yep.
And this goes – another question. They want to – the NC2A, if they see more money and more TV revenue, do we really need to expand the field when the Blue Bloods can't even get past the Sweet 16?
I just think they want more action. I mean, I don't know what the number is, Mike. If you're telling me 75 teams now are in the tournament, right. I just think they're seeing the excitement of some of these – not no-name schools, but non-brands, these smaller brand schools.
But what are you going to do? You're going to start giving the Blue Bloods? Like, I mean, not when I say Blue Bloods. You got to be ranked, obviously. You got to earn that thing.
Yeah.
But you want to start giving the one seeds a bye? No, because 16 seeds are beating one seeds. That's part of why you watch this thing in the first place.
So it is going to be interesting to see if they try to expand. I've heard that that's what they want to do. It's Dukes and Bell with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk some dogs.
At Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Georgia received the most votes when 94 players at the All-American Bowl in San Antonio were asked to name the school with the best facilities. So what they're telling you is all these kids went on visits. These are the top-notch kids, right? These are the five stars, the guys that are going to make the difference. They all went to all these different places and said, whoo, you see the facilities at Georgia. This is why Kirby has been building and helped building these facilities, the complex, the $80 million complex, a restaurant, right, serving steak and lobster, the Lamborghini seats, Mike. That's what they call it in the locker room. I mean, you've got all this stuff going on. Kirby was like, my players can eat off the floor. Literally, that's how cool this is.
Well, again, you know, years Mark Richt was trying to get an indoor facility built, and now you've got Lamborghini leather seats. I mean, this is just so darn funny. We used to hear the stories. Our friend Corey Miller, who does radio in South Carolina, his son played linebacker for Bama. And remember, he talked about they had, like, the carving station with, like, prime rib pork chops.
Yeah, every night.
You know, there was an Olympic-size, like, cool-down pool. I mean, all these things that Alabama had. Well, now Georgia's got it to the point where everybody gets together and they compare notes on all the cool amenities that UGA comes out number one. So how about that? And, again, it's one thing if you throw all that money. I'm not trying to make – I know this hits it close to home. I know Texas sure spends a lot of money on their football program. But here, Georgia's turning this into back-to-back national championship.
Yeah, see, here's the deal. I mean, Georgia also, this is where they're at. They're in a similar place with Alabama. If you go, you may not play immediately. There are no promises, right? So, Mike, a lot of these guys that are saying, hey, they got the best facilities, didn't pick Georgia because they want to go somewhere where they could play and potentially not have to sit and wait a 1 or 2 years and not have to be in the transfer portal. So the beauty of this is Georgia's facilities, that word gets around. All these kids talk, man. We talked when we were being recruited. All these guys talk. And so you know what you're getting, but you also know if you come, there's no guarantee you're going to start immediately.
But remember we used to say, why would you go to Alabama if there were six running backs and you're a running back? You just said it. Because you're going to the NFL. Everything is set up for you. It's queued up. You've built that same machine that Saban has built with your own touches. It's Kirby's version of that world. Hey, by the way, Kendall Milton has got a hamstring injury, so you're not going to see him for the rest of spring football.
Mm.
Dog Nation reporting that earlier this afternoon. He was expected to be the lead back, obviously, this year for the Dogs. Dejan Edwards, likely to be the lead team in carries. Milton will be good to go for when they get to summer practice, but you won't see him in the spring game.
Okay. Well, listen, injuries is not what you want in the spring.
But it's a hammy. You just got to rest that.
Correct. Yeah, you don't want to further that, you know, and have it linger. Either way, G-Day's coming up in April. Obviously, we're in the month of April now with the last week of March, and we're counting down to a few weeks and seeing what this team's going to look like. I think, guys, all these quarterbacks will play. We'll be talking about it leading up to the G-Day event. And then Connor Riley's been saying this, you know, the leader in the clubhouse or the guy that they looks like he's going to be the quarterback. I just don't think Kirby's going to announce it. Right, Vandergrift and all that. I don't think he's going to say this is our guy because he doesn't have to.
Do you think we're still talking about this like Labor Day weekend?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I do. And my part of it is, Mike, and I know they got a weak pre-conference schedule, but it gives teams in the SEC a non-advantage on who they have to prepare for, right? Maybe he plays all these guys early. What if he plays all of them early and knows that this is the guy I'm going to go with, but I want you to see all these because they all maybe do something different or they bring something different.
There were reports earlier this year, that Vandergrift was going to maybe be the guy most likely to jet. Does that limit his
chance? Leave?
Well, that's just it. Does that move Gunnar Stockton up if they feel Vandergrift might blow it out?
Well, see, that's another reason why I don't know if you announce it. They all compete. You don't say it. And if you tell them that they're all still competing for the job, kids stick around. Guys stick around. They want to see if I can win the job. And then you get into the season, Mike, and now guess what? I got to wait till spring to maybe get in the portal or whatever it's going to be.
Well, Brock Bowers is going to be there. The wide receivers, by everything we've read today or we're reading in spring practice, is the wide receivers are emerging. Last year, obviously, when you had two tremendous tight ends and Darnell Washington out moving out of the NFL, maybe this is the year where the wide receivers actually get more vertical. It's something that, they won all the games they had to, but the tight ends were the big story last season.
All right, guys. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, what did one NFL coach say today about Desmond Ridder? Wait till you hear what he had to say. We'll tell you next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Chance to win a pair of tickets to see Matchbox 20, Slow Dream Tour, okay? That's happening Monday, July 2nd at Lakewood Amphitheater. Not right now, but between now and 6, we'll give you a chance to win. Could be within a few minutes. Stay tuned. Mike, I want to lay this out because, again, all the coaches, the owners, everybody's in Phoenix for the NFL owners meetings, okay? And one NFL head coach who has familiarity with Desmond Ridder, spoke about him today. Zach Taylor, who is the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. For those who don't remember, he was the OC for the University of Cincinnati in 2016. So he helped recruit Desmond Ridder. Desmond Ridder played at Cincinnati. So he says, I first noticed Ridder as a high school player in Louisville. And obviously he says, when I met him, talked to him, you see the traits. As a high school senior, he was competitive and he showed leadership. But then Taylor, the head coach of the Bengals, goes on to say that one time I showed up at 6 in the morning to work out Dez, and he had about 8 to 10 receivers there that he had show up at around 6 in the morning. It was the day before the Kentucky Derby, which is a big deal in Louisville. Yeah. He says he ran all the drills. He told them what routes to run. The coach didn't have to say a word, and I was just really impressed by his leadership skills. So the intangible stuff is off the charts. This is Taylor, the head coach of the Bengals. So how it all translates to the NFL, that's not my problem. That's what he says. I will always be following Dez's career in the NFL to see how it goes. But what he's saying is all the things that you want in a quarterback, and he went 44-6 at Cincinnati, we know, you know, threw for more than 10,000 yards, all that stuff. But the things that you don't know about, like how does he respond in these big pressure situations, Mike, in these games in the NFL, we don't know enough about him yet. Right. So those are the words, again, of the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. And he said this today to our own D. Ledbetter about our quarterback, Desmond Ridder.
And that's cool, getting a different perspective, but a guy who does have familiarity with him. Look, we like the guy. I thought in the preseason, remember everybody was saying, hey, I've seen enough. I remember we were like, wow. Maybe they can make the decision and start with him. But they went with Marcus Mariota for the obvious reason. He had more experience. And there was a ceiling there. That ceiling was clearly hit early on. So we were all in this same kind of boat. Now, Herm Edwards came on the show, what, like 3 weeks ago?
Yep.
Herm said you don't get enough out of 4 games to know what you've got. But we're being as positive as we can be. The Lamar Jackson thing was out there. Whether that was simply pie in the sky and a million-to-one shot, certainly enough for the fan base, was intrigued because there's a guy with a proven track record. It's not a knock, as you said. We've said this a million times. When you have that discussion, it's not a knock on Desmond Ridder. It's just a conversation a lot of people in this town want to see where it's at for obvious reasons when you've got a guy who's been an MVP. But Ridder has shown leadership at every level, and that's more of a testament to what the kind of the type of player this guy is.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I wanted just a more resounding. Now, he was there in 2016, and he got the Bengals job in 17, guys. So,
but he's been as an NFL coach, he's going, I can't really tell you what he's going to do.
I can't tell you. Right. That's
because 4 games ain't enough to know.
That's where I'm at. I wanted a little bit more of him to say. And again, a guy that's familiar with him, has seen him early in his career. You know what I wanted him to say? Atlanta got the dude.
Yes.
That's what I wanted him to say.
But again, you know, as we said, you just all of us, we want to will this thing into existence that this guy is going to be the next big starting quarterback in the NFL. And maybe he will be, but you just don't know right now. And the good news is going into this year, if he checks all the boxes and the work in the spring and the summer and in preseason, you got a guy who's got more weapons than he certainly had last year. And if they get the left guard thing right, a better offensive line.
Yeah. You know what else I wanted him to say? Talking about Zach Taylor. You guys got the next Joe Burrow. I mean, give me something, Zach. I mean, let me feel really good about this thing. I get it. You're talking about him in high school and running drills and all that, and I hear you.
He's giving you the leadership stuff.
That's all he's giving us, Mike, but we know this already. We already know what he told us.
The Desmond Ridder going into 23 conundrum is the definition of being a Falcon fan. It is so frustrating. You want to believe. You see other things around the league. You go, I want that. I want this. Maybe you want somebody in this NFL draft. Maybe you think we should take a flyer on Anthony Richardson, or maybe we should move up to get, I don't know, Will. This guy, if you want to go by record, with the exception certainly of Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, he has more experience and a better record coming out of college than anybody in this draft. You know, other than the guys that are 1-2, perceived to be 1-2.
You're talking about games played and all that.
Yeah, games played, experience.
Look, he won a 44-6 record?
Correct.
In college?
He went to a national semifinal game against Alabama where he did not embarrass himself. He gave Georgia all they could handle in a Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl as a junior. But that doesn't have any bearing other than experience. You have all the experience in the world. The NFL is a different animal. And I just don't know. And again, maybe Arthur Smith will be candid with us when we get a chance to catch up with him, if there were some parameters or governors on what he was able or being allowed to do in those four games. Or look, because if it was wide open and the entire playbook was there, then you start to look at the personnel. I mean, there are levels to this, right? You got to say, who were the wide receivers? What were the routes? Who's back there for protection? Because the O-line was a sieve, you know, things like that. Because everybody wanted to see. Give me that Jalen Hurts magic that a lot of guys referred to. They knew in Philadelphia if they could ever get some pieces around him, this guy can be the real deal.
Yeah, it's so true. Speaking of our Falcons, our owner, Arthur Blank, is going to join us tomorrow.
Cool.
Time, Chris? Turtle? 5:25. We'll get a chance to talk to Arthur Blank. Now, the irony is he's out at the owner's meetings, but it's perfect timing to talk with Arthur, so we'll get him on the show tomorrow. If you're just joining us, Lamar Jackson put out a statement on social media basically saying he has requested a trade from the Ravens. He did back on March 2nd. There's been no movement. They don't think he's valuable. I'm just paraphrasing here. You can go read it. So he's just saying thank you to all the fans and the support. Mike, the highest win percentage over the last five seasons, minimum 40 starts. You know where Lamar Jackson is?
He's got to be in the top five.
He's second behind Patrick Mahomes.
I'm winning. Nice. The guy has been everything you could want in a starting quarterback.
But the only reason I bring that up is because people are like, oh, he shouldn't make this money. No. What? How?
The Deshaun Watson thing unfortunately exists. Now, again, if you lived in a world where Deshaun Watson didn't get that stupid contract, you could give him a penny more than Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson. We could all get on with our lives. But they did, and that, to me, is the monkey with the wrench on this whole deal. He's hung up on being the highest-paid quarterback in the league, which he deserves to be. But you could argue that the Browns did the stupidest thing in the history of the NFL with that contract.
He has a higher winning percentage over the last five seasons than Josh Allen and Tom Brady. But we out here talking about he don't deserve this.
Well, but the injuries are a concern. The injuries, you cannot ignore the injury history the last couple of years and the fact that the statistics have dropped since the MVP season. I'm playing devil's advocate. I would take him in a heartbeat. I would give up a lot of stuff to get him in here because I would love to see this thing just go to the next level. But that's incumbent, Carl, on this guy staying healthy. And there is no money back guaranteed on a guaranteed money contract. You don't get no money back if this guy's unhealthy, if this guy misses five games. And then we got Desmond Ridder out there at quarterback.
You're talking about the Falcons. I'm just talking generally. He ain't coming.
This ain't happening here.
Yeah, this is not happening now.
But, I mean, it should happen. I mean, the Colts.
Thank you.
You brought up the Colts earlier. I would still, like, I was the Dolphins. I'd kick tires on this. Although, then say, look, you can't trust Tua to be healthy. Why would you bring another guy you can't trust to be healthy in Lamar Jackson?
404.
He's also 1-3 in the playoffs. That's also part of his resume.
Yeah, but this screams he wins games, and it tells you where he ranks when you start talking about the best quarterbacks in this league. We always talk about winning percentage. I just said, how do you affect winning? Patrick Mahomes wins. If I tell you Lamar Jackson's winning percentage is 738 over the last five seasons, and the only guy in front of him is Patrick Mahomes, he wins. That's all that matters. You know what we want Desmond Ridder to do? Win.
Right.
I don't care how he does it. He can do it one leg, one arm, win. That's all I care about.
I bring it back to Ridder. Why don't people buy into Ridder? Because he's not exciting. Can we just say what it is? He's not as exciting as the other guys. But again, I know it's nerdy, wonkish, next-level NFL stuff. How many guys were out available to catch the football? What protections were you in because you have to have a tight end or a running back there to block because you're getting bum-rushed on one side of the line? So all these things go into it, and then did the coach really give him the ability to run? See, he ran for 2,000 yards in college over the course of his career.
Yeah.
That shows you the ability, Carl, to improvise and do things with your feet. Was he being allowed to do that in those four games? Because he only ran 16 times for 64 yards.
Yeah. All I know is Zach Taylor, and this is why we're talking about this, coach of the Bengals, who was at Cincinnati when they recruited him, was asked today, and he gave really nice comments. What he didn't say is he's a difference maker. He's incredibly whatever. Fill in the blank. Fill in your adjective. He didn't say that. What he said was very smart, and he's intelligent, and he's a leader. That's all nice. I would expect those things from my quarterback. What I need to know is, can he make those plays that we have been craving for? Can he make those throws that we have been craving for? Those are the things that we just don't know about. And again, it's not being negative. And if Dez is listening, Dez, you will have a chance to show us. That's the beauty of all of this. You're going to get your opportunity, but nobody has come out, Mike, and banged their chest, including Arthur Smith, and went, "Woo-hoo! Wait until you see this guy in next season."
I know. And again, we've covered this a million times, but it just, you should have gone to him sooner. Okay. How many times are we going to talk about that train wreck in Carolina? Al Michaels is ready to quit professional football, Carl, because of Marcus Mariota. But we decided we're going to give it a few more weeks. And you know who you really got to blame for this?
Who?
Tom Brady. It's Tom Brady's fault, because if the Bucs didn't suck so much and kept us alive for the division, we would have gone to Desmond Ridder a hell of a lot sooner last year. It's Brady's fault.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, you want to find out who we're going to be talking to. We'll tell you, and I'm talking about the Falcons. This news just coming out. Mike, what do we got coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. It's spring training, as you know, just wrapping up in Florida and Arizona. But Major League Baseball umpires, Carl, they're in mid-season form.
Uh-oh.
Insufferable and incompetent. And if you had a foot injury, would you want to go see the Michael Jordan, a foot specialist, or the LeBron James, a foot specialist? It's coming up next. All right, we were talking earlier today about this very untraditional Final Four. We've always had to see one or two wild cards the last couple of years. Low seeds are just advancing because the big dogs just don't keep their teams around together very often, Carl. They just have disappointing years like North Carolina. Do you believe, and I had to find this, that it took me a minute, that there is a couple of folks who actually did have this Final Four? I mean, how many? I would think you would never just blindly put this together. You might have to fill out about 1,000 brackets, right?
Yeah. Florida Atlantic?
Right.
Nobody had them.
The BR_betting website says a guy named Zach Taylor, not to be confused with the Bengals coach we just talked about, who gave a lukewarm endorsement of Desmond Ridder. Zach Taylor, an Ohio native, had Florida Atlantic, UConn, SD State, and Miami to be the last four teams in the 2023 tournament. The bet was placed Monday following the open weekend prior to the Sweet 16. So he didn't pop this right before, we didn't hey, get your brackets out, everybody. He actually did this after a couple of rounds of the tournament action. The odds were, in case you're wondering, 950-1.
Wow.
Yeah. Like any long shot, he needed some breaks to swing his way. Either way, this dude has claimed a nice piece of the action. I'm looking to see, it doesn't say which website it was. Oh, DK Sportsbook, so whatever that is. But he got paid, so nice chunk of change.
That is incredible. Mm. I would not say that.
$24 to win $23,000.
Not bad. I mean,
can you do that math? I can do that math. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I wouldn't have. Here's the other thing. The San Diego State pick. Unless you watch a lot of West Coast basketball, you probably would not have been on San Diego State, even though they were, a fifth seed, I think, or a fifth seed. You know, that's the other thing. You might have had them going to the Sweet 16, not getting to the Final Four.
So he's, again, after the first day of action, Thursday, Friday, I should say, he put this bet in there and he made some crazy loot. By the way, in case you're betting, are you going to bet the Final Four?
At this point, it's been so unpredictable.
What would you think the numbers are? Because I got them. I'm asking you a long-winded question, but I know the numbers. I'll throw them at you.
Okay.
UConn is -125. So they are the prohibitive favorites.
Yes.
Basically, you're betting 125 to win 100. Now, if you're looking for some crazy odds, FAU, You've bet down 100, you're going to win $625. So they are the long shot of the Final Four.
Yeah, I've been you know, on the first weekend, obviously the second weekend, but it's been unpredictable. Obviously, this has been the most unpredictable. No right. One or two or three seeds in the Final Four.
Well, everybody likes, as you said to start the segment, UConn, San Diego State. That seems everybody seems that'll be the Monday night game. SD State is plus 375. Again, if you guys don't gamble, you get about 100, you win 375, and Miami bet 100, win 475.
Now you said this. If you're just rooting for a team, how can you not root for the story for Miami? Jim Larranaga has been there since 2011. This is now their back-to-back Elite Eight performances. Now they go to the Final Four. And he's just a likable guy. And he's fun-loving. And, Mike, it's not Jim Larranaga's fault that NIL came about. And if they've taken advantage of it and that, you know, they've got a couple of players. But I also, you know, it gets back to his best player playing his best basketball on a night and where they were down 13 against Texas. They needed every point. He doesn't miss a shot, and he doesn't miss a free throw. And then you talk about why these teams are able to get there. Right. That's what has to happen. You need six games from your best players to win a national championship.
But, again, I've never rooted for Miami in anything in my life being a Florida State fan. But I tell you what, I just love Larranaga. For those who remember the George Mason run back in the day. And this guy you see him doing the dancing routine in the locker room after advance to the Elite Eight. He's just a likable guy, and he's a good coach. And you and I were talking about this earlier. Some people, and again, the first time ever, I think two things happened. I rooted for Miami, and I think I might have agreed with Dan Wolken on Twitter because he was basically telling people who don't like Miami who feel that somehow they're paying big-time money for NIL has given them an unfair advantage. Hey, talk to John Calipari. He's had an unfair advantage for three decades.
Yep.
You know, I mean, talk to any of these guys. And in his case, you know, it was before we had name, image, likeness. It was shady as heck. But everyone just kind of, you know, the Dick Vitale's going, oh, you're John Calipari or the jump. No, he's got a bag man. The guy's name was Worldwide West. But anyway, you can look it up. I'm going on a rant. Either way, I'm pulling for Miami.
Jordan Miller's the kid I'm talking about that went 13 for 13 from the line. He scored 27 points. He shows up like that, Mike. Miami will be in the final on Monday.
It's nice to see guys handling the pressure and making big-time free throws.
Yeah.
And by the way, that Gonzaga game, I still can't believe Gonzaga beat UCLA and put out that kind of a just absolutely flat performance in that game. That was brutal. Hey, man, LeBron James is back in the mix, guys. He's playing again for the Lakers. LeBron James made his long-awaited return on Sunday, came off the bench, Carl. He's been dealing with the agony of defeat. A lot of people have been wondering since he said he tore a tendon in his right foot back on February 26th. Is he going to have surgery? Was he going to shut down this season? Because let's be honest, the Lakers are way outside looking in. But apparently LeBron said that he talked to an expert when they asked her who. He says, I went to the LeBron James of feet. And he told me I shouldn't get the surgery. He doesn't need it just yet.
Yeah, who's the LeBron James of feet?
He did not say, but whoever he went to is the LeBron James of feet. Now, would you go see the Michael Jordan of feet or the LeBron James of feet?
I want to know who the LeBron James of feet are.
And listen, the reporters all chuckled at that, but I mean, even he laughed. He's sitting in his locker talking about
these foot injuries like this late in your career. They'll do you in.
That's true.
They'll do you in. So, I mean,
you know why you go to the Michael Jordan of feet, by the way?
Why?
Because you can't be 3-7 with operations.
Oh, here you go.
He's true. He is 6-0, undefeated with perfect surgeries.
Always about the chips, huh?
Although Michael Jordan of foot doctors one time belittled one of the anesthesiologists in the operating room because he demands perfection. Either way, but LeBron, the idea was, yes, if you had this because you have a partial tear, why don't you just get surgery and shut it down? He goes, I don't know. Right now, I don't need it. He says, we'll wait and see. He says he'll get another MRI at the end of the season. He did finish with 19 points, but they lost again, 118-108. And they are, by the way, 37. Can you imagine that? LeBron seemed 37-38. And this is probably where Kyrie Irving would wind up if things are obviously going south with him and the Mavs, if you didn't see. That was a funny story from earlier. We played Luka Doncic basically having a nervous breakdown. Kyrie has that effect on people.
Sounds like he was crying, man. I mean, I don't know if he was, but boy, he's right. Chris is right. He's sad.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing this weekend, I was listening to the broadcast of March Madness that we carried here on 92.9 The Game. Carl said we're going to the Final Four. When I moved down to the South Side, this is now, it'll be 3 years for me this fall that I've been living in Coweta County, a little town called Sharpsburg. You were like my sensei for garden work and grass and doing all this stuff. So needless to say, I've got enough rain, right? I don't have to water anymore anytime soon.
No. I mean, you fertilize, right? You're good?
What's fertilize?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah, no. I put stuff down. I put I put soil down.
Pre-emerge? You pre-emerge and you fertilize? You did all that?
I did the tilling, and then I put down soil.
Okay.
Did I forget the fertilizer?
Okay.
I knew I forgot something.
You planted new grass down there?
I got sod and I threw seed down. So there's sod and there's seed.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I knew what I used to till. Oh, no, I use an auto tiller. Chris said that in my head. Everybody's got jokes. Now, the reason I bring this up is, now, whenever you, if you have something that's a large, I picked up two gigantic shrubs that were in these giant buckets, and they weighed about 200 pounds each, and so I got to get them on the truck. I rented the truck from Home Depot. You ever see the sign, rent the truck for an hour?
Yeah. And they've got everything.
Yeah. So I got, basically, it's a rental for 75 minutes.
Okay.
And the guy was really cool.
So you were in a time crunch? Because I've been there, too.
I don't know.
I got to get this back.
I don't know what the charges were going to be, but I did know 75 minutes is what I've got. So I get the truck. I pull over to where all the stuff is outside, where all the trees and bushes are on display at Home Depot.
Yeah.
And so I need someone to help me get this thing in the back of the truck. So I go to the people. I need a hand over here. And it's like, well, let me get Bob. So Bob comes over. Bob's like 100 years old. Like,
Bob, I'm gonna help you.
I can see this guy leaning over and hear his back go, forget it. And I looked at him. I go, with all due respect, sir, you're going to jack up your back. Do we have anyone younger? Oh, Bob got upset.
Oh, really?
He got hot. It was almost like I've challenged
him. You age-discriminated, Bob.
I did.
Wow.
It was age bias. So I go, okay. So then another kid comes over and I go, all right, remember everybody, including you, Bob, lift with your legs.
And he did.
Yeah, and we all got the things up in the truck and it all worked out. So now I get to the house, neighbor's there, Mike, my buddy works for Delta, get the things unloaded, got them over there, we're good to go. Now I gotta get the truck back. I got 20 minutes to get to Home Depot. No problem. And then I've got Myrtle, the slow-driving turtle, going 40 miles an hour on a two-lane road.
To get the truck back.
Yeah. And I'm sitting, and I'm going, I'm bananas, and I got to put gas in it.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting.
There is a grace period, though, right? I mean, you don't have to have the truck back exactly at, like, 5 o'clock.
But, you know, but again.
You're going to charge you $80?
Just like me doing this stupid yard work that I swore I would never do. That, you're right. If I brought it back 2 minutes late, were they going to jam me?
No.
This is my father. I've become my father. Says 75 minutes, you got to get back in 75 minutes.
That's true.
So I literally come rushing in like I'm winning the Indy 500. Like, bring this pickup truck in sideways.
Yeah,
I'm here.
There has to be some kind of grace period. But I've been there. I mean, the time crunch thing is real.
Guys look at me like, you're cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah, looking at you like you're crazy, right? No. You could have brought it back tomorrow, sir. You would have been fine.
So that was my Sunday. But anyway, there's your guy talk. Brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, ale. Go get two flavors, man. The original, the blonde ale, and, of course, our watermelon lime.
All right. I got to tell you a story about the butcher and what happened to me this weekend. I will do that coming up. But before we get to that and what's going on with the Falcons, we want to give you a chance to win Matchbox 20 tickets.
Nice.
Right now. Slow Dream Tour. It's going on. Lakewood Amphitheater, July 2nd. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. Caller 7 at 404-741-0929. You are going to go see Matchbox 20 right now, just listening to Dukes and Bell. Maybe it's time to come home. I am sick of the rain just like you are. I get it. But you know, as I know, that things are going to get hot. And when they do, you want to make sure that you can cool your home off. That's where Reliable Heating and Air comes in, guys. It's time to make the call. 770-594-9969 or go to Reliable.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.